Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we've altered in bad ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord. We'll move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give a peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Speak. We need a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord will
Sunday afternoon. Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. I'm glad that I could be back here with you on the program today, this Sunday afternoon. I pray that all is well with all of you out there today. Well, I indicated to you last week that I would start taking calls today, and I'm not quite set up. I believe next week I will be totally prepared to take calls, but certainly I will give out my post number. That is, that's the number you can call next week if you are calling for prayer. That's the only thing that I will entertain on the air is prayer, or if you are seeking to see if God has a special word prophetically for you. And so I will hopefully be totally set up next week where you can call into the program and hear what it is God has to say to you, and also I will be glad to entertain your prayer request. As I've indicated before, and I'm putting this at the beginning of the program because of what I announced last week, if you continue to have questions, maybe about the Word or about maybe my commentary on the Word, you can always send those via the email address that I'm going to give to you at the end of the broadcast. As I always say, this is a motivational outreach program. It is here designed to exhort you, to uplift you, to encourage you, to bring something into your life that you positive that will help you deal with your life. And as always, I always say it, there are those of us, I hear it all the time, I hear others talk about it, getting through the dark times. And that's what this program is about, seeing clearly in the dark. Even when you're in the dark, you see still. Yet you see God. And that is what's important, because that's what causes us to survive dark situations and dark times, is that we can still see God. Many people get discouraged because they can't see God. You say, well, look, God, and we're talking about Job. I mean, we're in the right chapter here. When you've done it all right, it's totally different. It's totally different. When you have walked with God, you have done what he said, you've given your offerings, you've given your tithes, you prayed, and you get up in the morning and pray, and you see God, and then you come into your day and see things that cause discouragement in your walk. Well, that is what I'm for, and that is primarily what I espouse the word of the Lord for, because sometimes you can't look to people. Sometimes people aren't going to be your source, because I'm constantly reminded, the Lord has said, look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. And so Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so when we go to his Word, we understand what it is Jesus is saying to us. And when we come into situations that are adverse, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, situations that are adverse, there's trouble, it does not mean that you've done something. And so there are those that would like to cast dispersions on your walk with God, and certainly you have enemies. All believers have enemies. And so we have to learn to walk through trouble and adversity. We have to learn to walk through rejection and those that are seemingly doing right with God, but not really. Such was the case with Jesus when he walked among the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you see, they were sad for a reason, because they knew that they were not a part of God's kingdom. And eventually, as Jesus arose and he proved that he was the Son of God, of course, they had a fate that they had to face, and that was the ultimate judgment. Well, here I am in this text again, and you know what it is. Just guess here. It's 1 Corinthians 13:12. I say it every week. This is the short version. I don't know how I got the short version this week, but I haven't read from the King James Version in quite some time, so I'm going to read it today. It says, for now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, and no matter how dark that situation is, God is on the other side of the mirror, ready to reveal himself to you. He says, then we shall see face to face. That means we're going to see God face to face. We're going to know him. We're going to know his will for our lives. And just as he is the author and the finisher of our faith, when we go to him face to face, he will reveal the truth. Let me tell you, he is faithful. He is faithful to give you the truth about your situation and reveal his will for your life. I'm telling you, you feel like you're surrounded by people you cannot trust? Go to Jesus. Look into his Bible. Look into the Word of God, and you will find your solace there. You will find your comfort in the Word of God. God is faithful. And then God is going to be faithful to work in your life and work out your situation. He will use people to do it. And so you can't distrust everyone. God is sending people in your life to help you and to deliver you. Last part of the verse says, now I know in part, and then I shall know fully. That's the important part. When we know in part, that's the time to wait until God gives you a full picture, until he reveals all that you need to know. And then when you come into the fullness of the truth, and you will know who you are, and then you can move appropriately in your walk with God. Well, the episode today is entitled, I've entitled it, Shall We Not Accept Adversity? I can answer the question. Let me tell you this. I want to ask the question right now without fail. I don't want to accept it. No, I want to put it like this. Do I feel like accepting it? No. There's something about my flesh that rejects adversity. You know, and in your spirit, maybe I'll say in your soul realm, you're thinking, why this and why that? And God, can you get me out of this? And this is a bitter cup I don't want to swallow. Neither did Jesus. He was in his flesh. He didn't want to do it either. But there is something in the believer's walk that sometimes we cannot avoid adversity because we have an enemy. We have an adversary. His name is Satan. And he is before the throne, as he was with Job, accusing the brethren constantly. And when we look at him, he's the one that's going to be demised and judged forever and ever and ever. Why God lets us to Satan, I don't know. But there must be some reason for it, because he tells us to reject every word of Satan. Every word. Don't tolerate it. Don't tolerate negativity. Tolerate people who are negative. And yet we see God being incited by Satan here to test Job. We do not question that. As sometimes we have to endure accusation, and Satan is behind it all. I mean, he didn't use vessels, but he is behind it. He's being used. He uses vessels to come against you. And what we have to do is decide that we're going to, when the adversity comes, we can't hide. We can't put our head in the sand. You must deal with adversity. And like I said last week, you must have the proper response to adversity. Now, I am in chapter 2 of Job, and let me tell you, it is a different situation. When we're in adversity, we have to, you know, like here with Job's wife, she was so negative that he had to deal with her. Something new. That's part of sometimes the adversity is in your own house. In your own house. When I say house, it could be a church house. It could be your own home where you live with your family members. It can be within your own members and your own mind. There is doubt. There is negativity that you have to deal with in the midst of being tested and questioned by God himself. I want to say God did not question Job here. He held him out as someone that could endure adversity. And I believe that's fair because this is a model of adversity and what we must do in order to conquer and survive adversity. I'm going to verse 1. It says, again, there was a day, again now. You say, God, now look, I've been through some already. You've taken all my children. You've destroyed all my possessions. That is enough. That should be sufficient to prove that I'm serving you for the right reasons. Well, in chapter 2, it says, look, and so we may sometimes go through adversity back to back. And there's always questions, why me? Why me? I've survived one adversity. I've proven that I've served you no matter what. Why this other next adversity? Because Satan is somewhere accusing you, and he's accusing you to the point where God is going to hold you out as someone worthy, someone that's upright and blameless, in spite of the adversity. Here, Satan has indicated to God that the only way and the only reason he, Job is serving God is because he has not touched his body. And he has said that, yeah, it's easy to give up everything you own and say that you love God, but let me touch his flesh, and I bet you he's going to curse you. Let me go into the scriptures. So again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. I always say that. See, Satan dwells right in the midst of those that appear to be sons of God or that are sons of God. Tolerate him. I'm going to reject Satan. But he, because he comes as an angel of light, sometimes he can fit right in with the sons of God going before the throne. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. See, Satan wants to intimidate you. He's nosy, and he's a stalker. Satan is a stalker. He's going to and fro in the earth to find evil things out about you. He's nosy. He's going to and fro to terrorize you and to accuse you. And it says in verse 3, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man? Why might Satan be stalking you? Because there's none like you. He's not used to dealing with people that are upright, in right standing with the Lord. And so he goes to and fro trying to find something on you and then goes before the throne. What nerve. But he has encountered a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Again, you should shun evil if you're blameless and upright. If you do not, you're not blameless and upright. You may be playing like you're blameless and upright. But to be blameless and upright is to shun evil. And he says, and still he holds fast to his integrity. That's one thing about accepting adversity. You know it's coming. You know it's there. Do what you have to do to hold on to your integrity while you're going through the testing. So let me read that real fast. It says, there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity. And that is, in a nutshell, there, the definition of a blameless and upright man. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. That's another thing. Don't be surprised if you're facing tests and trials without cause. Without cause. And we're going to see his friends come in. His wife is there. Eventually they're going to begin to accuse him. This must be something you did here, Job. You had to do something to have this calamity come upon you. And then that's not the case. And that's not the case with you always if you're listening to this program today. I know that's not always the case with me. That I may be attacked. It's not always because of sin or judgment or condemnation or an attempt to condemn me. And so here in verse 4, it says, so Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Now he wants to attack his body. Well, I thought you were saying that his only motive was for serving God was that he had material possessions and his family. And now you're going a little bit farther. See, that's how Satan is. You can't satisfy a devil. You cannot satisfy a devil. Let me tell you, you cannot. The best thing you can do is pray. Move into an area where you're not going to be exposed by Satan to Satan. The last resort is to deal with the adversity head on. Some people, and that's normally what you're going to be doing with the vessels of Satan, they're not going to be satisfied. No matter what you do, you can be good all day and all night, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, because Satan is actually jealous of the blameless and upright. So that's why he accuses. That's why he launches accusation and after accusation to get God to test you. Now, not everyone is tested for that reason. I want to go back to Genesis 12 through 20 or 21, when Abraham, calamity came on him, or testing, because God was teaching him obedience. He was teaching him to walk with him, to obey his voice. And so there was calamity there. There was famine. And what it did, it matured Abraham to the point where when he did get the blessing of Isaac, God immediately told him, I want you to sacrifice him, Abraham. And Abraham, in his maturity, see, learning to obey God when God says what he wants you to do, immediately obey God, he sacrificed Isaac, or at least went to sacrifice Isaac. And then God intervened. And that was a test, again, of his obedience to the things of God. Let me keep going here, verse 4, so Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now he's bringing these accusations. If he's sick, if he's ill, if he has ailments, he's going to curse you. And he said in verse 6, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. And see, that's when you have to accept the adversity. When God hands you over as a righteous man, because there is a verse of scripture that says, and he handed him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. And I don't have a scriptural reference right there, but that's when someone is evil, when someone is doing things that are not of God, and he hands them over to Satan to be destroyed, actually, when his flesh will be destroyed. That person is a carnal believer that's walking in carnality in the things of God. And verse 6, it says, the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a pot sheared, which is to scrape himself, while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Seems like I remember someone explaining what pot sheared was the other day, like a piece of ceramic, and scraping his boils. Oh boy, what a plight. Boils are painful. They're really painful. And I know when I play my harp, if I haven't played in a long time, the foreskin on my fingers will be very, very, very tender. And if I play too much, when I first start, say if I haven't played in a month, then I have to recallus my fingers. And so if I play, my fingers will turn purple and boils will begin to develop. And see, I'm looking at one of my fingers now, and I still see the scarring from the boils that I had the last time. You try touching that string with a boil and you will scream. And so I've been through it many, many times. And what I do to avoid going through that is I just play constantly, make sure I play constantly to avoid having to recallus my fingers. Because let me tell you, that is a painful thing, is to have a boil. And imagine Job with boils all over his body. I know that was painful. Hello, that is painful. And as soon as God gave Job permission, Satan permission, he went out and struck Job's body. When sickness comes from Satan, that is one explanation for it right here. It comes from Satan. That's its origin. Satan struck Job with boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. God allowed it, but it came from Satan. In verse 8, and he took for himself, I read that, verse 9, then his wife, listen to this, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Watch who you marry, everyone. Come on now. Marry someone. He says that we should not be unequally yoked. And we have to search those things out and carefully vet who we live with, who we marry. When it's family, you can't very well help it. Certainly who you marry, because if you're stuck in a situation of adversity, you've tried to serve God and be upright, and you have a spouse that is, you're not equally yoked with, in as much as they don't believe what you believe. They don't have your faith. Sometimes it can be improved. It depends, because it says in another passage of Scripture that a wife who is saved, saves and covers her husband, and likewise. And so, but here we see a wife that's disappointed in Job. Despite all he's done and provided, she is disappointed when adversity comes. And it's so bad when adversity comes and you don't have someone to partner with you with your faith. Let me tell you, it is such a disappointment. And you got someone sitting right there and they can't rise to the level of faith to meet the adversity with you. I mean, if you're single, you have to do it, you and God, and God alone, because I like it. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. If you can't even find anybody to agree with you, Jesus will agree with you. Here with Job, he had a wife, and she did not agree with him. While he was determined to hold fast to his integrity, she told him to curse God and die. In other words, she told him to disown God, turn your back on God. What a thing when you're covered with boils, when you've lost everything, you've lost your children. I can understand her, though, because she's lost her children. She has lost her possessions as well. But it proves that she wasn't willing to accept the adversity that Job, in which Job found himself. And that's important. You know, I hear ministers talk about marriage partners all the way, but just like they have said, you have to have a partner with someone. And I'm talking about you have to marry someone that has your level of faith and can accept adversity like you do, if you're talking about a fulfilling marriage and an enduring marriage. And he said, verse 10, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. You see what I'm saying? That's foolish. To a person who wants to believe God and hold to integrity, to listen to that is just like so undesirable. It is very undesirable to hear your spouse speak like that when you're believing God. She sounded like an unbeliever to me. She was not definitely groomed for the adversity. Maybe she wasn't walking blameless and upright, but she had the benefit of her husband who covered her. But nevertheless, she did not believe like he believed. And it says, shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? That's where I got my title from. And all this Job did not, you understand, I'm saying it again, and all this Job did not sin with his lips. He's endured calamity after calamity. He's sitting with boils, ill, in pain. Boils are very painful. And he says, I will not let loose of him my integrity. Imagine how many people under this kind of pressure he would do with this spouse did. Curse God and die. I was just denying. And leave and say there's no God. Well, Job did not do that. Let me finish this scripture. I hear the prompt here. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all the adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place, Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and so far the Naphtalite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. That is a comforting thing. When you are in the midst of trial and trouble and your friends come towards you rather than move away from you. Now, those are some pretty faithful friends, and possibly they are the ones yoked with you to help you during your time of adversity. Well, they came toward him, and for now they've made an appointment to sit with him and to mourn him with him and to comfort him. And in verse 12, and when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, let me tell you, there are times when you will go through so much, people will not recognize you. I know about that. When the adversity takes a different physical form for you as a believer. But they didn't recognize him physically, but he was the same Job because he held fast to his integrity. And it says, when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven, so that they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. In other words, they weren't accusing him. Oh, what happened to you? Something you did wrong? Oh, how could this be? You must have done something, and God is not pleased with you. Eventually, if you go through enough adversity, someone will offer that as the reason to you. It's not necessarily the truth. Let me read my tags as far as I can before I leave the broadcast. Notice that Satan only comes to present himself before the Lord to accuse the blameless and upright. God is incited to prove that Job serves him because he is God. Adversity is to be anticipated in the life of the believer, just as we are positioned to accept and anticipate God's blessing. A believer is to hold fast to integrity when tested. When others speak negatively of God, we are to rebuke unbelief and not be moved by negative opinions and attitudes. Real friends will not abandon the blameless and upright believer in the time of adversity. If we suffer with him, then we will also reign with him. All right, I said I was going to give out the host call in, guest call in number. This will be good for next week. If you have a pen, please write it down. It's 646-716-5250. That's the number you will be able to call in on next week. I really appreciate you calling in, and we'll see what happens. Well, I have reached the end of my program today. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. As always, you may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders. If you wish to listen to this episode or another episode listed there on the show page, you may email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com for questions, comments, or prayer requests. And, of course, anything else that God may have for you. So again, thank you very much for listening to this program. I pray that you have a blessed week, and I pray that you will give attention to this word in your time of adversity. See you next time.
I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed throughout the evening. And anytime I pray, a well of joy springing up inside, water of new life that cries. Oh, in my spirit, way down in my spirit, yeah, in my spirit, Jesus is Lord. King was she, the shepherd as he speaks, he must be she, to hear him when he calls, to see him when he comes again. Oh, in my spirit, yeah.
Lord. It's by the Spirit that you know He is Lord.
Yeah.
A revelation filled with amazement.
about a fire.